Thank you, Doris. Worship team. Wonderful. The seven dwarfs are down in the mines, and there's a cave-in. And Snow White runs to the entrance, and she yells down to them, "Someone yell something so I know you're okay." And in the distance, a voice shouts out, "The Calgary Stampeders are good enough to win the Western Final." And Snow White says, "Well, at least Dopey's alive." My poor family, they were subjected to so many jokes trying to figure this out. But attitude. What can I say about attitude? I've got to take my jacket off. I'm getting hot. Attitude is everything. It's about, you know, often we carry a similar attitude to Christ, but when we start saying it's all about me, I mean, it can make your life or it can break your life. It can give you hope or it can deeply discourage you. It can give you purpose or it can reduce your worthiness. All in attitude. Jesus Christ carried the right attitude everywhere that he went, with everyone that he met. He always had the right attitude. I'm sure everybody in this sanctuary today, I'm sure that you desire the same attitude of Christ. That's what we're called to as his followers, to follow Christ. This morning we're going to look at what Jesus explains to us regarding the formulation of our attitude. And so I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And I'm going to start reading at verse 26 of Luke 14. I'm just going to read a few verses. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, verse 25. And turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters," we usually stop there. "Yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Now, don't start, you know, saying, "Well, now I get to hate my spouse and my children and my mother and father." I'm going to explain to you what that means in just a moment. But really, Jesus is saying your attitude is determined by your focus, by what you focus on. If anyone comes to me and just focuses somewhere else other than on me, you can't be my disciple. Where's your focus today? Getting hot. Told you this is going to be a tough subject, so just bear with me just one moment because I'm having a hard time. Whoops, I just broke my mic. I know where you people are focusing. I know where you're at. How am I going to preach? Can you hear me? See, you're focused. See? You know, you're not going to listen to me. I got to put this back on. I got to try and cover myself up. I know where your focus is. You're going to be done in time for the game. Don't worry. Focus. I got to tell you about this. I was been praying all week. Okay, God, how can I draw people into this? And how can they understand that where we look at, where our minds are, that determines everything. How can I do this? And this morning driving here, boom, this hit me. And so I phoned Joe and I said, "Can you bring my Saskatchewan Rough Rider shirt, and she said, "Is it tucked away somewhere far in the depths of your closet?" Just kidding. She didn't say that. But focus. See, notice I'm doing up as many buttons as possible. Did you know at age 20 we worry about what other thing people think of us? At when we're 20 and at 40 we don't care what people think of us? And at 60 we discovered they haven't been thinking of us at all? If you're thinking about yourself, you don't have the attitude that Jesus is calling you to have. See, Christ focuses on you and me. He was selfless. It's amazing what happens when you're selfless. It's amazing how God can use you when you focus on God above your own interests. When you're God-focused, when nothing else matters, no public opinions, not what you want or what others want, when you're that focused on God, then you start to become interested in other people's feelings, other people's gifts, other people's interests. Something wonderful happens within you. You become selfless, and you no longer think about you. You think about Christ. It's impossible for anyone to be a servant of God and at the same time think of yourself. If I'm more interested in me than I am in you, then I can't do anything for you, can I? If I can't get beyond myself, I can't help you. Because every time that I want to help you, my own self is going to rise up and say, "Well, what about me? What's in this for me?" Can you imagine what would happen if you just get your little self off your mind for a while? This lady, just yesterday, they actually, I saw her, I said, "So did you?" Because I had a class this week, and so yesterday morning I said to her, I said, "So how are you doing?" "Terrible." You know, we're not used to people being so honest, but she said, "Terrible." She said, "I'm tired." I said, "Well, you're tired." She said, "Yeah." She said, "At 6:30 this morning," she said, "my husband woke me up. He asked me, 'Did you sleep well?'" She said, "So I said to him, 'I haven't finished yet.'" And then she realized he was actually talking in his sleep. And then she was awake the rest of the night. I mean, she's wide awake. 6:30 in the morning. On a Saturday morning. And she said, now I can laugh about it. But she said, by this afternoon, she said, "I'll be zonked out sleeping while I'm trying to learn in class." But it's interesting how we look and we say, what about me? What's in this for me? We often think that in the church. Well, this is what I want in the kitchen. This is what I want from the service. This is what I want from the leadership. I want this, I want that. If your attitude is about you, Jesus says, then you will not enjoy your life. God literally sees the attitude of our heart. He doesn't just see what we do and the outward we put on, but he sees the attitude of our heart. The Amplified puts it this way: if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude toward God, and likewise his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. It's interesting when we get so focused on ourselves, we don't see ourselves as the problem. We see everyone else as the problem. But to do it unto the Lord, that's right. Not do it to fulfill an obligation to get something. God sees the heart. And he knows where we're focused. Where are you focused today? Look at this cartoon from Pickles. We can learn. "The trouble with kids today is they grow up thinking the world revolves around them. It's a hard lesson to learn, but young people have to realize that the world does not revolve around them. Here's your tuna and cucumber sandwich, Earl. Thanks. It revolves around me, you know. Pretty accurate. Do you know selfishness is the pits? Because it comes from the pit. If you want to follow me, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you wash feet, what I've done to you, you should do. To be like him, we have to serve. To be a servant, we can't be selfish. To be a servant, we can't be proud. We've got to be humble. There's got to be an attitude. I'm grateful. I'm humble. Thank you, God. I want to be a blessing. I want to help somebody. I'm no better than anybody else. Whatever I can do, I can only do because you put it in me to do it, God. I want to be kind to people. I want to be patient with people. I want people to feel better because I've been around them. I don't want to put people down. I don't want them to feel bad. I don't want them to feel stupid. I don't want to make them feel irritated with me. I want to be so focused on you, Lord, that people know I'm focused on you. And you no longer think of yourself, your wants, your desires. You want to help other people. You want to encourage them. You want to bring out the best in people. But what's required is you need to focus on Christ. Loving like he loves you. Involving your life with the Spirit of God. I talked about how I'm kind of reading Scripture now. I come quiet before God and I read a verse slowly, or verses slowly aloud a couple of times, and I listen for a word or phrase that God brings to my attention. Then I read it again, and I ask, where does this touch my life? And I read it again, and then I ask, what's the invitation to me from God? What's he calling me to? I sit quietly and enjoy God. You can't be interested in other people without focusing on Christ. And if you're not doing this, if you're not selfless, God is not number one in your life. Well, attitude is determined by focus. Attitude is also determined by freedom. Freedom. We're back full circle to where we began this series. Only a person that is free can live so focused on God. Now, the world would have you think that if you become a servant, it steals your freedom. But the fact is, you cannot be a servant unless you're free. See, this word from Jesus Christ helps us understand that unless you are free from the need to have a reputation, to have your own way, unless you're free from what other people think and what they're going to say, then we really cannot be a disciple. Because we're always going to be pressured to have some kind of position. Because we think that if we have some position, that in that position we're going to have worth and value. Boy, I want to be free from that. Jesus says, you can be free from all that. But there's a cost to it. See, when it's all about me, that's the kind of stuff that just... Should I get it? When it's all about me, that's the kind of stuff that just pressures you. You become enslaved to position, to power, to authority. You never really get around to enjoying your life. You're so focused on yourself, and it's all about me, that you're more interested in what you've got instead of what Christ died to give you. You become worn out and played out, and you frustrate those around you. Start doing things for other people as unto the Lord. And it's like a sweet-smelling sacrifice that comes up before his throne. God wants us to sacrifice. To love one another, doing things for one another. The Bible says such sacrifices are well-pleasing to the Lord. If you give your time, it's a sacrifice. It costs you. If you forgive, it's a sacrifice because it costs. Jesus wants us to be powerfully aware of the cost in serving him, in being his disciple. And so that's why he says in verse 28, he says it so clearly. He says, where am I? Totally lost now. Cost of being a disciple. Verse 27, sorry. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. There's a cost. Ministry costs physically, emotionally. But when we do it in the Lord, it shapes, it develops our attitude. You know, I do a little, try to do a motive check as best I can. It's a, kind of a healthy thing. I think regularly, on a regular basis, do a motive check. Every once in a while, I like to ask, why am I doing this? You need to ask yourself, why am I doing this? If you can't come up with the right answers, you better spend a couple of days with God. Because, you know, we can have the right answers in our life sometimes and get off base with God. That's why our Lord reminds us, count the cost. I believe when you get enough of the love of God in you, you've got to just give it away. Same with attitude. When you get the right attitude, you give it away. There's a price to pay. There's a price to pay when we're helping other people. There's a price to pay. If the attitude to help other people is sincere and not just emotional, the servant, the disciple will pay the price to be able to help other people. There's a cost involved. Everybody say, there's a price to pay. Say it again. You got it. It's easy to say. And sometimes we want to help other people because it makes us feel good about ourselves. But I'll tell you, there's a cost involved when you really start helping people. But what's the cost? Everything. Everything. In the spring of 1883, two young men graduated from medical school. The two differed from one another in both appearance and ambition. Ben was short and stocky, kind of like me. Will was tall and thin. Ben dreamed of practicing medicine on the East Coast. Will wanted to work in the rural communities. And Ben begged his friend to go to New York where they could make a fortune. And Will refused. And his friend called him foolish. He said, don't practice medicine in a little rural community. But Will said, I want to help people. I want to be a great surgeon and I want to help people. I want to be the very best I can. If I have the ability to, I want to help as many as I can. So Ben went on to New York. And Will set up a little small community. And years later, the wealthy and powerful came from around the world to be treated by Will at his clinic. The Mayo Clinic. Heard of it? First and foremost, to become free, Jesus says. To become free, you have to let go of yourself. You have to give your life away for Him to use. That's the ultimate. You know that God just doesn't leave you alone until you do that? He doesn't leave you alone until you do what He wants you to do. He'll chase you down. I mean, Jonah, you know, he goes off to Nineveh. Jonah went the exact opposite to where God told him to go, and he ended up spending 3 days in the belly of a whale. Repented, God caused the whale to spit him out. God was there with the exact same message that he had 3 days earlier. Go to Nineveh. See, no matter how long you run from God, God's going to have the exact same message for you later on that He has for you right now. Our procrastination doesn't change God's mind. If you run into somebody who's miserable, all you have to do is run into somebody who's running from God. It's really what it is, because there is nowhere far enough that you can run to. You cannot outrun God because His love is too great for you. He won't let you go. No matter where you go, He can find you and He will still speak to you. Amen? And so He says, let go of it all. He's just waiting for you to say, not my will, but yours be done, God. You see, to be free, you have to have the same attitude Jesus had. You have to say, not my will, but yours be done. Are you doing God's will for your life today? Are you truly allowing Him to lead you on your life journey? Or are you focused somewhere else on what you want. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. John Yowat said that. Ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. There's a cost, and it's everything. Your time, maybe your money, your giftedness, maybe inconvenience. There's a cost. If you really want to serve God, be His disciple, you've got to help people, and it will cost you everything, but you also get in return everything that God gives. You give everything away. You've got God, and He'll give you everything that He's got. Now, that's a trade I can handle. See, the part of, I don't know how to explain it to you, but let me tell you, I know. The part of being radically blessed is by being radically obedient. And there are sacrifices that we have to make, but praise God, He always provides more than we need to make it through the sacrifice. We don't have to be concerned about giving time, giving talents, giving friendship, giving a listening ear, giving a little bit of understanding, giving financially. Because the Bible says, what you get, whatever you give away, you will get. I mean, if you give mercy, you receive mercy. If you give forgiveness, you will receive forgiveness. If you give judgment, you will reap judgment. So on, so on. We don't have to be afraid to give unto the Lord with a right heart, right motive. God's always there to replenish everything that we give away. I think a lot of people are afraid to give. I'm not just talking about money. Afraid to give. I like what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians. He said, before they gave their money, they first gave themselves. I think if we were honest, there's a lot of us who'd rather give money than ourselves. It's just much easier. There's no cost. Soren Kierkegaard says, I went into church and sat on the velvet pew. I watched as the sun came shining through the stained glass windows. The minister, dressed in a velvet robe, opened the golden gilded Bible, marked it with a silk bookmark, and said, if any man would be my disciple, said Jesus, let him deny himself, take up his cross, sell what he has, give it to the poor, and follow me. It costs everything to be a disciple of Christ. Everything. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. It costs. There's a price to pay. And Jesus knew about the cost because he left the glories of heaven and the highest position in heaven, not only to join his creation, but to take on the lowest form of creation. And he said, it's not about me. That's why we've walked through this series, is to really get to that place today. Because we've come full circle. Freedom is what we need today more than ever in our world. We're God's people. We're all parts of the same body, all headed for the same place, all serving the same master. No, nobody is better than anybody else. We're all in Christ. And when you grasp that, then you focus on Him. And when you focus on Him, you realize that you're free to say in His eyes, I have a lot of worth. I don't need anything else. Attitude is not about you. It's about what's within you. Let's pray. While eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I would be amiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to talk to the one who is calling you, who's seeking you, who's searching, who has never once ran away from you. That is to our Lord Himself. Maybe you need to talk to Him. Maybe you need to talk to Him today about your attitude. Maybe you need to say, God, I don't know how I got caught up, but my focus has always been on me. And don't feel embarrassed, because the majority of people today, that's really where it's at. But you can come to Him today and you can say, God, Lord, I want that freedom. And I know it's going to cost me something. It's going to cost everything. It's going to cost who I am. It's going to cost my time. It's maybe going to cost my wants and desire. But God, I need to be free today. And maybe you need to cry out to Him as to how you need to be free. Maybe it's to be free from your financial focus. Maybe it's to be free from your health focus. Maybe it's to be free from your ministry focus. Maybe you need to say, God, I just want to focus on You. Because You're it. I'm not going to hold anything back anymore. It's not going to be about me anymore. It's going to be about You. It's going to be about You, God. If you're willing to make that commitment today, that you will say, God, it's all about You. It's not about me. Would you just stand up where you're seated? Don't worry about, just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed, everybody. Just stand up. It's about You, God. It's not about me anymore. Just stand up. I'm giving this up, God. It's not about me anymore. It's about You, God. Yes, Lord, bless you. Just stand up. Lord, bless you. Stand up. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Just stand up. It's not about me, God. It's about You. It's about You. God, it's about You. I'm making this commitment. I'm standing. God, I'm standing making this commitment. Just stand up if you're making that commitment to Him today. It's about You, God. It's not about me. It's about You. I may be inconvenienced. There's going to be a cost to this. But I'm going to stand right now, God. I'm going to make this commitment. Just stand up. Maybe you're saying, God, I want to get that focus right again. I want to get the focus right. I want it back on You. Just stand up. Would you stand up? Just stand up. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, Selma, can you come up and start playing? Just stand up. And maybe you want to say today, God, I've been glorifying myself. I haven't glorified You. It's all been about me so much that all I've done is put this all in me. And God, it's time I put it in You. And maybe you need to stand and say, God, right now I'm going to make that commitment to glorify You. Maybe you need to stand up and say that to God. Just stand up. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord bless You. Lord bless You. Lord bless You. I'm going to ask you all to stand. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Just all stand, please. Father God, this has not just been a commitment for those select few. God, there are some today who, in their heart, they made that commitment that strong. They stood in their heart, God, and they said, I'm making this commitment today. God, there are those who stood, and Lord, I pray that You protect each one of them. Lord, that those who just quietly came before You made that commitment, You protect them. And God, we realize that as a church, we've also failed in this area. Lord, at times we haven't focused on You. Lord, even our denomination has got offside sometimes and sidetracked on things that have taken us away really from what You call us to. Lord, it's time to get back. It's time to be on track. It's time to focus again on You. Lord, that's our commitment as a church. That's what we stand for today. We stand for You. Thank You, God. Thank You for the sacrifice You gave to us, that You showed us that this is where the focus is. Don't lose sight of it. Focus on Me and on My will, and I will set you free. God, thank You. I pray, Lord, that even through today, this morning, that You have received the glory and the honor. It's all about you, God. It's not about me. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.